Alrighty, so today's topic is befriending and hospitality. Last week we talked about obstacles to evangelism, and we also talked about Christ, about the centrality of Christ. Very important aspect, very important beginning to our evangelism is for our hearts to be overflowing with joy for who Christ is. That's really where our desire to witness the gospel should come from. So today we're gonna take a few moments and talk about befriending and hospitality. But before we do, if you look at your handout there, it says leftovers. Anybody have leftovers this week? We had some good leftovers. My wife and I talked about barbecue, or I talked about spicy meatballs last week, and my wife had some barbecue this week. And, you know, remember I mentioned about anticipation? Well, my wife did text me and say, you know, we're having barbecue tonight. And that was great. I like being able to look forward to that. And we had leftovers. So I have a few leftovers for you from last week. You know how it is when you have more material than you do time. So I'm going to go through these really quickly so we can get into today's topic. So right there where it says leftovers from lesson one, a quick overview. I'm going to try to get through these in about a minute and a half per topic there, per item. Some of them I mentioned last week, but I want to hit them again for your review. The first one is Christ, the center of our joy in evangelism. All right, I'm going to advance here. We'll come back to those slides in a minute. All right, that slide is also on the handout from last week. So you can find it there if you need it. This is just a way to emphasize in our own minds that it's easy for us to place emotional and intellectual emphasis on things that may be good in and of themselves, but they are not emphasis on the ultimate thing. And, of course, the ultimate thing is not a thing. It is Christ who is a person. It's a who, right? So you have here some circles that show where we tend to put our heart, or we may tend to put our heart, a variety of things there, politics, moralism, denominational distinctives, even worldviews, apologetics. But ultimately, our heart needs to be fixed on Christ in our evangelism. And we'll talk about that in practical ways as we go through. But just want to make that point that, for example, let's just use the politics. Pastor Mazak has talked about this before, that at Trinity, we don't really talk about politics in a public way, right? There's a lot of good reasons why not to do that, but a very simple reason is it really has very little to do with the gospel. Okay? I'll use a Republican, I'll use and a Democrat as an example. So if I have Republican thoughts in my head as I'm coming to somebody with the intent of giving them the gospel, then that is going to influence how I give them the gospel. Because if they come back at me with a political view that's separate, that's different than mine, then I may make the mistake of engaging them in politics when I should be engaging them with the gospel. All right. So to be fair, let's talk about the Democrat. Let's say I have a Democratic mindset and I come to somebody with the intent of sharing them the gospel. If that is primary in my mind, the politics, then I may veer off the path and end up talking about in a reactionary way or in some way that benefits my views as it relates to politics. Okay, so that's a concern that we want to keep Christ and the gospel at the center of all our desire and all our communication related to the gospel. So you see there those off to the side, you have those key events in Christ's life. Christ is king. In other words, Christ was king, to use the eternal past, before he ever came to earth. Okay? And then he was born a perfect birth. None of us have ever had that. He lived the holy life. He died and rose again, and he reigns. So those are Christ events that anchor the gospel. And that is really the focus of what we want to be communicating to others. As we go through these things from one week to another, those five Christ events will keep showing up. All right, so the next thing is, off to the side there, you have a QR code that takes you to a page, web page that has resources, and I keep updating them every week for you. There's some sermons there. There's some talks there. This week, I posted a sermon by Pastor Mazak that he preached quite a while ago when we were in the book of Colossians, and the key phrase there is walking in wisdom toward outsiders. That's from Colossians chapter 4, so give that a listen, and there's other resources there as well, and then links to some of the books that I'm going to talk about in a few moments. All right. Now, last week I mentioned five practices for churches that evangelize. Let's see here. I have that sheet here. I'm just going to read off of it. Oh, you know what? I don't need to do that because it's actually on the PowerPoint. How about that? Yeah, there we go. So, how do you know when you're on mission? Question for the gallery here. How do you know if you have, let's say you have whatever it is at work or you're in your personal life, home, church, organization that you're part of, you have a mission statement, and so you want to check yourself and say, are we on mission? How do you know that you're on mission? Anybody? Who's got our mic? Donna, you have the mic today? Oh, Pastor Ward has it. Okay. But anybody can answer that. How do you know if you're on mission? Anybody? Be brave. All right, there's a hand. Okay, yes. Okay, let me hone in on the first thing that you said, if you're doing it, right? So mission doing proves the mission is in motion, right? So it's not good enough to have a mission and have the good intention of it on paper. We know that we are on mission if we are, as you said, we're doing it, right? So that's a good question to ask ourselves. Yes, sir. Yes. Yeah, and that's a good point, Mark. So you can also look at what you are doing or not doing and then say that how does that match up with what I say that my mission is? If it matches up, then you're on mission. If not, then you're not. Or we're not, okay? All right, good. Thank you. All right, so here are these five practices, and the first one is to have a Christ is the center mindset. And we talked a lot about that last week. We will keep repeating that. The second one is a prayer list. I found this to be very helpful, is to have, I have a little book that I keep names of people that I'm concerned about that have come across my path that that I want to share the gospel with, that I want to build, as with the phrase that we've used here many times before, redemptive relationships, right? Pastor Mazak has talked about that. And I think I put this out here that I think really that that's one way to help us stay on mission is to let prayer always be at the forefront of our thinking, and just even when you're not evangelizing, you're praying and you're thinking about a particular person or somebody that you came across that you want, Lord, please use me in a way to be able to communicate the gospel to this person, that you have the name attached to that. Okay. The next thing, small groups. This is very important. We can do evangelism on our own, but we need to work on ways that we can come together in smaller groups and pray for one another. You know, this happened for me this past week. I got together with a small group and we talked about some people that we had come across and used names in some cases and prayed for the other person, the gentleman that is seeking to reach out to this person. So we're praying with one another and reading books together to be able to encourage one another. It's so much easier for a church, for a group, to be moving in the direction of their mission when they are doing it in small groups, and then the small group is reflecting what the larger group is saying we need to do. All right, the next thing, memorizing verses. I found this to be very helpful, is to memorize key verses, even if it's just 10 or 15 verses that are very explicit about the gospel. Of course, there's John 3:16. We know that one, right? And there's so many more that we can use. And if we have them, you don't have a track with you. You have the Word of God in your heart and in your mind, and you can use that to be able to communicate the gospel to others. So memorizing verses, that's a specific step that we can do that moves us in the direction of our mission. And then the last one is short and sticky answers. We talked a little bit about that last week. We'll keep repeating that. I have an example of that on video later on, and we will talk about that. All right, so those will show up again later. And then the next thing on your leftovers there that I want to point out is the master plot of the Bible. Now, we've benefited greatly. I very much appreciate the hard work that Dennis and Kevin have done to take us through various aspects of worldview. And so I want to build on that. And here's, you know, we said creation, fall, redemption. That is awesome. That's great. But let's build on that. What comes before creation? There's something that, and I'm using the word something very loosely there. There's a person that comes before Genesis 1:1, and who is that? All right, God, right. And specifically, by name, what God? Which one? Okay, Yahweh, all right. Sometimes we use the term, there's the term Jehovah, okay. Yahweh, triune. So the Trinity existed eternally before anything ever existed, eternally in contentment, eternally in happiness and supremacy. And so I want to suggest to you that as you think about the gospel and you come to others with the gospel, with the intent of sharing the gospel, to use this plot, this story plot of the Bible, and for that matter, of the entire universe, to help you be able to communicate to them to what their specific need is. And I'll explain what I mean by that in a moment. All right, so the K stands for king. All right, so before a world ever existed, the sovereignty of God, the holiness of God, the kingship of Yahweh, triune, existed in just absolute splendor and beauty. And that is what people have fallen away from in their sin. That's what all of us, before we've come to Christ, have rebelled against. We've rebelled against the king. So we need to establish the kingship of God, the kingship of Christ, the beauty of who God is. That is the foundation of reality. And then after that, naturally comes the finite world that we live in, the creation. And then here's where the fall, but then the conflict continues on after the fall. We are still living in the age of conflict. And then God interrupts all of that with the cross and the resurrection. And we'll talk in the fourth week about how important it is that we talk about both the cross and the resurrection. And that Christ event, those Christ events, the cross and the resurrection, bring in God's kingdom. No, it's not now here in perfection, but Christ reigns and rules now. Now, with that story frame in your heart and your mind, then you come to a sinner who is outside of Christ, and you can know that his root problem is not that, say, let's take, for example, an atheist. I'll give you an example in just a few minutes of a guy who was an atheist and he's not now anymore. And how he went from that to Christianity is very interesting. But here's the root problem. The root problem of the atheist is not that he needs evidence that God exists. The root problem of the atheist is that he is a rebel against the king. That is his root problem. So when I come to him with the gospel, I'm not coming to him to try to prove to him that God exists. Pastor Mazak has made this point very clear in Romans 1. Everyone believes in God. In fact, if you ask the question, is there a God, you've just proved it. Now, that needs some explaining, no doubt. But if you ask the question, is there a God, that is the opening proof that there is a God. Okay? So, we add this to creation, fall, redemption, because ultimately our sin is rebellion against God. All sin is rebellion against God. Okay? And then finally, the grace sheets there. That's the last item. You have those today. So if you can pull that out and look at it. And I want to issue a challenge to you to take one of these with you and, of course, read through it and meditate on it. But to pray about giving this out to someone who you think, best you know, is someone who needs Christ, and give this out in town this week. Okay? I'll give you an example. I've been doing this. I'm not happy with some of the tracts that I've found, and so I decided, well, I'll just write my own. So I've been handing these around out town to people I know, to people who I don't know, people who are strangers to me. Here's one example. I was at pump number 6, filling up in the middle of the day, heat of the day, wanting to be on my way. And then I noticed at pump number 7, I was at the same island on the other side. Pump number 6 was a gentleman filling up his truck. And I noticed in the back of his truck he had a big four-wheeler. And we struck up a conversation. He was telling me about how he was going to put a new engine in this, and he was going to fix it up, and all this. It sounded very interesting. And then I thought, okay, here is an opportunity for me to give this gentleman. It's a very fleeting conversation, but I'm still going to pray that the Lord will give me a chance to give him one of these Grace for the World sheets. So we continued in conversation, and then I noticed that he was smoking a cigarette. I'm at pump 7, he's at pump 6, and he's just like, he's in his living room like this. And the light bulb just goes off in my head, and I run around to the other side of the vehicle to get these gray sheets, and I notice there are a couple of other adults in there, so I get 2 more, and I hand them to him, and I give them to him, and I say, this is something that's important to me. We're talking about this at my church, and I want you to have this. And then I got out of there in a hurry. And as I drove away, I had this alternate scenario going off in my head. Sir, I would like to tell you about the grace of God, because someday you may, boom, you know. But anyway, the Lord gave me an opportunity. Now, another person that I know who is an agnostic. So what do you do with somebody who's an agnostic? Do you spend time trying to convince them that they can know that there is a God? I figure that's a waste of time. I want him to know about Christ and his grace. So I went up to him, and a similar introductory remarks. I said, without using his name here, I said, this is something that's important to me, and I want to share it with you because I have so much joy because of who Christ is, and I want you to have this. Would you be willing to take this? And he did, and he took it. Now, it's up to the Holy Spirit to do that work of grace in his heart. Okay. And then I was at another place where I heard Christian music over the loudspeaker with the restaurant. And when I was in the car going into the restaurant, I thought, Lord, maybe there'll be an opportunity for me to give out one of these grace sheets here. And I thought when I got in there, well, OK, they're probably Christians working here. But you don't know. So I sought out the manager and I had a little conversation with him about this. I'm still not sure whether he was a believer or not. He may be. But at least he knows that someone out there cares to share the message of God's grace. Okay?